So is it 2022 yet?
Well, it depends, doesn't it?
Well, it is for the listeners.
It is for the listeners, but it's
Happy
not.
Happy New Year, listeners.
Yeah, but for us, it's not, not
it's
yet.
A few hours early.
Yeah. In 24 hours' time, it will be, put it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. So I'll say in advance to you, Paul, Happy New Year.
Yes, and Happy New Year to you.
Can't be any worse than the last one.
No, and it's the second year of doing this nonsense.
Yeah. Into another year of podcasting. I think we're podcasting experts now.
Yep, definitely.
And we've got more than one listener, which is a success.
Yeah, not to be sniffed at.
Indeed. So welcome to you, another Hidden Wiltsh podcast. We are now into our second year, and this is number 27. My name is Glyn Coy, and I am the face behind Hidden Wiltshire. And with me, as usual, I have my trusted podcasting partner.
Paul Timlett, the voice behind Hidden Wiltshire, or one of them.
And the face. You put our mugs on Facebook page.
I think I'm going to regret that. That was a terrible photograph.
That's us all looking at our finest.
Yeah, I look like I did on Christmas Day when I had the hangover from hell.
The funny thing is, for everyone, for anyone that's seen it on the Facebook page, it was taken about 9:30 in the morning. So we're all fresh-faced and ready to go. And actually, we were going on that walk and, it shouldn't have taken us all day, but it did.
Yeah.
Because we kept... You know, stopping and
mucking about
and falling over and hats flying off and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it was, it had everything, didn't it? But anyway, what have you been up to the last 2 weeks? Anything at all?
A lot of eating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I haven't been out that much, but I did go out for a walk earlier this week. I did the Warminster Skyline just to blow off the cobwebs of Christmas, and it was great. There was hardly anyone out. The weather was terrible.
Brilliant. Well, it depends on your point of view. It's terrible or superb.
It was great. I just got wind and rain blowing in my face. It was wonderful. Just blew all the Christmas cobwebs off and got me back to full health, I think.
You must be able to do that walk with your eyes shut now.
Yeah.
You're always up there. They're all tin head.
Tell you what, though, when I was out there, I kept hearing all the shooting, and I was thinking, the military aren't playing at this time of year. They're all on holiday. And, of course, the wind was blowing from the Sutton Veney direction, so there was a grouse shoot going on over there or something, but it was gunshot all day.
Not grouse, not in Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Pheasants or partridge.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it's, of course, anybody military or ex-military listening will just say, idiot.
Yeah, but I don't
you
know
must know the difference.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the military. And I don't know anything about grouse, pheasant, or whatever you want to bloody well call it, shooting. I don't move in those circles, so I'm a complete ignoramus.
This is where my walking chum, Stu, here we are, sort of first podcast of the new year, and I've already mentioned him. Being an ex-army man, he can not only will he say, you know, whether it's the shotgun or a military rifle, he will also tell you the caliber of the round that's being fired from that from said rifle.
Well, you know, I mean, we just say what we think on this podcast, and we don't mean to offend people with our lack of knowledge, but it does shine through.
Yes,
quite a lot.
Yes.
So what have you been up to?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Apart from, you know, the regular walks on the plains, which I do from my back door. As you know, my son had COVID and came out of isolation literally on Christmas Eve. So that was all a bit scary because he lives with us. So, you know, we've spent 10 days masked up in our own home and him sort of keeping in his room. And we're very lucky that we've got another bathroom. So we sort of he kept to that one. So we were all sort of dreading the fact that we might get it as well. My daughter was due to come home for Christmas, and so we're all testing every day, and she was testing every day, and fortunately it all kind of came together in the end. And because she works for the NHS, so she's already quite exposed. But anyway, he was all was good, and she got home, and he was out of isolation. But you know, quite honestly, I know, you know, you don't have to isolate if a member of the household has COVID, but we did. Well, I did. I just didn't go anywhere apart from going out and walking on my own on the plane.
So, stuck inside, did you do any reading?
I did, yes. God, that was almost a planned segue, wasn't it? That's very clever.
Well, you wouldn't have had anything else to do.
No.
Except sit there and drink whiskey or something.
That was my demise. That's, and that was, so here we are, second mention of Stu. That was his fault. So Christmas Eve was his birthday as well as everything else. And so Christmas Eve in the evening, we have this Shroot and Silver Band sort of march through the village. And there was just there was only four or five of them this year, sort of much slimmed down for obvious reasons. And they come along the street and they stop periodically and play carols and things. So we're all stood outside watching them. And so I said, "Oh, happy birthday, Stu. You have a good day." And he said, "No, no, not really." So he said, "Yeah, fancy a drink?" So I went indoors, and I don't know what time I came out, and I don't know how much whiskey we consumed, but I was destroyed the next day.
There's nothing worse than a whiskey hangover.
Do you know, I haven't touched it since. But
it sort of clings to your insides for a day.
It does, and, yeah. And to your memory banks.
It just destroys you.
But we're supposed to be spending New Year's Eve, yeah, which will be tonight for us, over the road at Paul Clifton's place. And he's a big whiskey fan. He messaged me yesterday and said, "I've got a very nice whiskey in." I thought, "Oh God, I'm not sure I can face this." But we'll see. Anyway, back to, yes, reading.
Yes.
I got a load of books for Christmas.
So did I, actually. That's all I get these days.
Me too.
Buy me books. I don't want anything else.
Yeah, books and socks.
So about 3 months ago, I was asked to provide a book list, and I was given strict instructions not to buy any more books until after Christmas. So I've been almost shaking. You know, can't get my book fixed. I have to wait until see what I've got.
I haven't bought a book. So I'm just going to reach down. Oh, got this pile of books on the floor here. So a book I finished reading, which we've talked about before, is that The Land of Lettuce Sweet Apple, an English Countryside Explored. And somebody, and I think it might have been Alice Cambray, recommended this one to us. And I picked it up secondhand for, I think it was something like £2.99, including delivery, which was astonishing. This is a hardback book. So it cost them money to send me this book. And it's absolutely in pristine condition. But I just finished reading it a few days ago. And it's all about Fifield Down, Overton, Lockeridge, all that, those areas around there go right back to Mesolithic times up to Lettuce Sweet Apple's time. And she was a lady who lived in West Overton, I think, in the 18th century. Absolutely fascinating. Although it's an archaeology book and it's quite technical, it does bring it all to life by trying to sort of imagine the sort of people that would lived in the landscape and what they were doing there. So it's not, you know, it's certainly not a dry book. So I really recommend that if you can get a hold of a copy. Because you got one as well, didn't you? You bought that one.
Yeah, I did, but I'm a bit annoyed actually because I spent more than you. I spent £5 on a paperback.
Yes.
It isn't even hardback. So.
And I've just started reading, my son bought me this, it's called The Land of the White Horse, Visions of England. He thought it was about Wiltshire, bless him. It's actually the Uffington White Horse, which is in Berkshire. But it's, you know, it's still a really good read. I'm only about 60 pages in, but and it does come into Wiltshire because it's on the Ridgeway, and the guy who wrote it, David Miles, he sort of starts off by him and his wife sort of starting the Ridgeway walk from Avebury. So quite a lot about Avebury in that sort of setting. Then they walk the Ridgeway through Wiltshire into and eventually come out to the White Horse. So that looks good. My wife picked up another secondhand book, which, again, you look at this, you think, no, nobody's read this. It's never been touched, never been looked at. Spotless condition. A History of Bentley Wood, which is in Wiltshire.
Yes, it is.
So, and I know in the last podcast we talked about doing some walks down there because it's right on the edge of the sort of New Forest around that sort of direction. And, yeah, you know, although it's not very far from me, it's an area that I really know very little about.
Yeah.
Cycled through it a few times, but never actually stopped and walked and explored it. So looking forward to that. And then the other one I have in my hand here is absolutely nothing to do with Wiltshire whatsoever, but it's right up my street, The Secret History of Here, A Year in the Valley. And that's about sort of farms, a farm and a valley and the history of the area in the, on the Scottish borders.
All right.
So, yeah, that'll keep me off the streets.
So one book I got, which is related to Wiltshire and actually related to someone that you and I have both connected with over the last year or so, was a new book by Andrew Rumsey.
Yes.
The Bishop of Ramsbury.
Yeah, yeah.
Called English Grounds, A Pastoral Journal. Now, I'm not much of a religious person. I don't go to church or anything these days, but I do find him an interesting character and enjoy his chronicling of his own journals throughout Wiltshire on social media. So I thought I'd buy his book, and I've got that to dive into over the next few days.
Yeah, I did. I nearly ordered that one, and I thought, well, I've got enough books here, and it looks like it's been really beautifully produced as well.
Yeah, and he's got some photographs in there and stuff.
Yeah,
it's only a black and white, but
yeah,
it just looks to be the type of book I'd be interested in reading, because the fact that I've never met him, but I feel like I know him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, he does these little short YouTube films.
Yeah, calls them Going to Ground.
Going to Ground. And in fact, I was watching one yesterday evening, the one that he did yesterday, I think, where he walks between Westwoods and he's on a track that he didn't know existed, but it goes from Westwood and it connects to it goes to what's it called, the woods above Hewish, Gopher Wood. So it connects Westwood and Gopher Wood. And I had to smile because he said, "Oh, you know, I've been looking for this path for quite a long time." And he films himself as he's walking along, and he's talking. And the video is only about 4 or 5 minutes. And he this will resonate with you. He almost fell over in the mud. It was so, you know, gloopy, and he uses a really nice sort of walking, you know, proper wooden walking stick. And at one point his face almost disappears from the camera as he slips. And that it's again, Stu and I did that. We walked that track, blimey, I don't know when it was, beginning of last year beginning of this year, I guess, or end of the previous year. And it was, yeah, I mean, it's a quagmire, it's an absolute quagmire, always is. But yeah, you know, go and, I mean, you don't have to be religious to watch his videos and read his stuff. And he's a really talented musician as well, isn't he?
He's a great guitarist.
Is.
Yeah, he's, I think he's played in bands and stuff over the years. And he writes his own songs, secular songs, you know, not religious. I think he's one of these guys that's a very good, the way he acts his faith out, he's a very good bridge between the religious and the secular, because he can plug into both and act as a bridge. He's the type of guy I'd love to have a conversation with in one evening.
Oh yeah, yeah, he'd be a fascinating guy. He I think it was Christmas Eve, he did a gig at the church at Tidcombe.
Oh yeah.
And he posted some photographs, I think, on his Instagram feed. And apart from being very nice bloke, good musician, he's also a good photographer. And he posted some beautiful photographs of the the church all lit up. You know, it's from the outside, and you just see the lights shining through the stained glass windows, and it looks absolutely beautiful. And I wish I'd known he'd been on, because I'd have gone. I'd love to have gone to that. Because Tidcombe's just a beautiful little church. It's up a dead end, tucked into the sort of valley over at, you know, sort of really not far from the Hampshire border.
Yeah.
And it's a place we're going to do a walk. We've got to get the walk sorted over there. It's just such a stunning place.
Okay. Shall we press on with the main topic of the week, which is an outside broadcast, actually?
Yeah. And it was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was lots of unexpected things happened on this walk, but it was just great. I mean, we met up with... the third member of the Hidden Wiltshire podcast team who does the music, Steve Dixon. And the three of us recorded a ramble that took most of the day, actually. So we started at 9:30 and came down as the darkness.
It was dark, descending. Yeah. And the weather was, we had absolutely everything. The only thing that we didn't get was snow.
Yeah. What's that song by Crowded House? Four seasons in one day? Well, we had three, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But this is the first time you met Steve, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sort of, and we started right on his doorstep. But basically, what you're going to hear now is our recordings from sort of throughout the day. But what we were doing was we're going to call it the Quaker's Walk, aren't we? That was sort of really what we were there to do, was do Quaker's Walk in Devizes. But Steve's going to play us in.
So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, and Happy New Year. And at the moment, we're doing another outside broadcast, because we love to do those.
In the rain.
In the rain. And there's actually three of us here today, because we have the third member of the Hidden Wiltshire team with us, Mr. Steve Dixon.
Hello.
Steve,
hello.
Welcome. you're normally our music guy.
I am.
But today you're actually starring on the podcast as our special guest.
I am. I have no guitars or drums with me.
No. But today we're actually starting this walk in Devizes. And we're at the bottom of what is called Quaker's Walk, which has some lovely ornate gates at the end of it. But the walk itself is a long straight avenue lined with trees that looks like it's the sort of pathway to some kind of stately home. So what can you tell us about this, seeing as you're a local, Steve?
So Quaker's Walk, which originally was called Keeper's Walk, and it, I think, has to do possibly with it was established as a deer park in the 1100s.
12th century, yeah, 1150 yeah. something.
1150 something. And so I think the Keeper's Walk name comes from that, but it was then changed to Quaker's Walk. I think, Paul, was that the... You've got some knowledge there.
You've got a cryptic with you.
Yes, I've printed something out.
I think that was like the 19th or 20th century. Changed to Quaker's Walk.
So see, the history's not clear. So right. It's very helpful.
Okay, well, I believe it to be the 19th or 20th century when it changed to Quaker's Walk. And it was as Glyn said, it was the drive to the big house, Roundway House, which was demolished in the 40s after what I believe was a large fire.
Yeah, so there was the walk led up to, let's call Keeper's Walk, as you said, a deer park. So I think
don't know if the gates were there before, but the walk clearly led to into the deer park, and there was a much older house that was there that was built in the sort of 1780s, something like that, and then that's the house that burnt down or whatever, yeah. But it was demolished by presumably Wiltshire County Council in the 1940s.
Except they didn't demolish the stable block. So the stable block still remains, and people still live in the stable block. And it's a huge stable block.
Oh, and that's still here, is it?
That's still there, yeah, yeah. And it's so when you look at the stable block, it gives you a measure of how big the house would have been.
But the estate was sold to the merchant venturers, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And that was, again, I think, in the 1940s when the house was demolished.
So, and the gates, where we are now, I think they've been replaced a couple of times. They certainly appear in photographs at the turn of the 20th century, where you see lots of people promenading with their posh hats and posh frocks and posh coats. So I think a lot of the shots are taken on a Sunday because everybody's dressed up and they're parading up and down the walk.
Yeah, this sheet that I printed out, there's a picture of an old glass negative, believed to have been shot in the 1890s,
wow.
And that's taken on, that's Quaker's Walk,
yeah.
So that's what we're looking at now, up that avenue.
But it doesn't look much different to what
no,
we
it doesn't,
today.
Yeah. In fact, I'm sure that bloke's still there.
We did see him, yeah.
So the plan is to, we're going to walk the length of Quaker's Walk, and then to the foot of the hills that lead up to Oliver's Castle or Camp? It's
Castle. Oliver's Castle.
Yeah, we're going to walk up there and then along to, I've forgotten the name of it.
Kingsplay Hill.
Kingsplay Hill.
Why can't I remember the name of that? And I don't know what we're going to do after that. Head back.
We're going to
eat
mince pies.
Eat mince pies and drink coffee, yeah. That's the vague plan. But first we're going to head to a wood, aren't we?
We are.
Something called Belvedere and
Newlands
Wood, where there was once a mill, silk mill and cashmere apparently, so we're going to go and have a look at that.
So having just traversed the muddy field from Quaker's Walk, we didn't get too far along Quaker's Walk actually before we diverted off.
In fact, because we've doubled back in the direction we came from, we're almost back where we started, but just about 200 metres to the left.
But we're inside this wood, and actually it's quite dramatic because it slopes down really steeply. I guess the mill would have been down at the basin of the
very basin, yeah, of the wood, yeah. And it's only a small mill. I'm not too clear on the absolute history of it, but I know it was a very small mill. Very few people around here actually know about it. But you can see, from where we're standing, it's almost in a straight escarpment, isn't it, all the way down?
Yeah,
a really deep ravine, isn't it, with what looks to be quite a small stream at the bottom, but obviously it would have flowed in a much bigger stream to run a mill. It would have been a much more force to it in years gone by, but at the moment it looks a bit pathetic.
So. It does, but there's still a fair trickle. I mean, it's not a stream or a gushing stream, but it's a happily trickling stream, isn't it, at the moment? So
we're going to head sort of down the path here, and I think we get a bit closer to the water, don't we?
I think we do.
Yeah.
Well, clearly we're well off Quaker's Walk now.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is as far as we go.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, we can loop back round if you want to, but I think it's probably better to go back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to think that there was a mill there, just here at the bottom of the wood, and there's no sign of it at all anymore, but you can see the path of the water.
I wonder if they'd have taken the the silk and the cashmere that they were producing, whether they would have used Quaker's Walk to take it into devices somewhere,
possibly, yeah,
where they, I don't know where the weaving sheds would have been, but some.
I mean, Devizes.
Has it got a tradition of weaving?
No, Devizes has got a tradition of snuff.
Snuff? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a snuff street and there's the old snuff factory.
Yeah.
So there's a big snuff factory in Devizes. And a lot of the houses in the middle of Devizes were cottages for the workers. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the silk and the cashmere was taken to chipping them.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting, and it's probably nothing to do with silk, nothing to do with this or anything that we're talking about now, but if you go and look up at the rooftops in the marketplace, you see that there's like French influence, there's Dutch influence. So clearly, you know, lots of traders would have come through. Yeah. And maybe clearly silk, well, silk was made here, so silk would have been traded here, I guess. Yeah. There's a person called Lorna Haycock, who's a historian. She's a local historian. Should know. So look her up, Lorna Haycock.
Of course, we were talking about the, before we started recording, we were talking about the sort of Ridgeway and what have you, which I think the Ridgeway, or one of the many Ridgeways, went down to Poole.
Yes, that's the Wessex Ridgeway.
Wessex Ridgeway, and I suppose that would have been that potentially. You know, I'm just making this up, I'm making assumptions, but you know, Kashmir and silk from here down to Poole to the continent. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And where have they got the silk in the first place?
Well, quite, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not known for silkworms around here, is it?
What's interesting is that, you know, the merchant venturers took over in the 40s, but clearly merchant venturers were traders. They were slave traders.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
It would have made sense if they owned this land 300, 400 years ago.
They'd have brought the silk here.
Yeah, they'd brought the silk here, but they didn't take over the land to the 40s. So,
should have done research, shouldn't we?
Should have done research, yeah. Retrospective research.
Doing it on the fly.
We always end up doing it after the event.
Right, Em. So, head back up.
Steve, you're out in the old stable blocks down here somewhere.
So the house got knocked down, but the stable blocks remained. And when we first moved to Devizes 18 years ago, I walked up here to have a quick gander, and I assumed that what I was looking at was the house. So I couldn't understand, because I thought, well, they rebuilt it. But what I was actually looking at were the old stable blocks that remained. So that they're quite sizeable, and they're now lived in. And that, because they are sizeable, it gives you the impression of how big the house must have been. It's quite a big estate.
And to our right, we're looking up to Leipzig Plantation. That is.
Do you know what it's called, Leipzig Plantation?
No.
So it was Leipzig was a battle in the Napoleonic Wars.
That's right, yeah.
And I believe that trees were originally planted there to commemorate the Battle of Leipzig.
Okay. So a bit like Niall Clump at the Stonehenge World Heritage Site. That's again to something to do with the Napoleonic War.
To our right, there's a lovely little Hansel and Gretel cottage.
Yeah.
With an ice and sugar roof. That's not. That's a lie. It's not an ice and sugar roof at all.
It does look like it's made of gingerbread, though.
It does. Yeah, yeah. These houses. So to our right, walking back down the drive of the old Brownway house, there's some cottages, and there's a peacock that's not there now, but he lives he came from the estate originally, and he's fallen in love with one of the bungalow roofs, and he stays up there most of the time. And we actually chatted to the people whose house it is, or whose bungalow it is, and they said, yeah, he lives in our garden, he lives on the roof, that's it, he never goes back into the estate anymore. But we sadly can't hear him today.
But the noise they make is incredible. Isn't it? Really loud.
I mean, we hear him, easily hear him like a quarter of a mile away.
Yeah.
So this drive now intersects Quakers Walk. Some would say Quakers Walk ends at the end of this drive. Others would say it goes all the way up to the base of Roundway.
Yeah.
I believe it goes all the way up to the base of Roundway.
Yeah.
So we just stopped on the lane going up the hill out of Roundway, and it's absolutely just driving drizzle and rain and wind. And so
this is the road up to Leipzig Plantation and Roundway Hill. We're underneath the blooming great power lines, but we've stopped here because we're looking across a house which Steve and I know very, very well. A friend of ours owns it. In fact, it's in the grounds of the house. It's the gallery where Steve and I exhibit our photographs, and it's called Roundway Farmhouse. And the significant thing about this house is that Alan, who owns it, says that on the morning of the 13th of July 1643, the morning of the Battle of Roundway Down, that General Waller, who's the commander of the Parliamentarian forces, had had his breakfast in that house before engaging with the Royalists, which I don't know whether that's true or not, because from what I've read, the Royalists actually caught the Parliamentarians napping and surprised them. Maybe he was just having breakfast there anyway, but apparently that's where he was staying before he joined battle. I don't think we're going to say too much more about it because we're getting so obsessed. So perhaps we'll do a bit more when we get to Oliver's camp.
So we're now huddled in a wood, sheltering from the driving drizzle.
Absolutely drenched.
Well, covered in mud from head to toe.
Yeah.
From mince pies.
Mince pies, coffee and chocolate in the wood, trying to shelter from the rain. In fact, whilst we stood there, it was interesting as we looked to the, whatever that direction is, south? Looked like it was clearing up.
Yes, south, yeah.
And now we're finished and ready to go. It started to rain again.
And I checked the Met Office app on my phone and it said there's only a 10% chance of rain. And it's been buckling down all morning.
It hasn't stopped. But where are we?
We're on the edge of Roundway Wood. So we're on the eastern side of Roundway Wood.
That's east, is it?
Sorry, no. The eastern edge of Roundway Wood. Yeah. East, yeah.
So where it looked like it was clearing, that was to the west, I think.
Kind of southwest, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we're about to go down towards Oliver's Castle. So we're kind of heading west-ish towards Oliver's Castle.
That was actually as we came up, the clouds really sort of dropped, didn't they? And they were sort of sweeping across the face of the hill. In fact, you couldn't even see Oliver's Castle when you couldn't see the trees. It was so sort of mysterious. But you have to use your imagination because it was raining so hard I couldn't get my camera out.
You could almost imagine like riders coming out of the mist,
which leads us
on to something very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose when we get up there, we'll talk a bit about the Battle of Roundway Down, which is why we're here, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were talking about the battle as we were walking up the hill, trying to work out where would the main battle have taken place, because I think we know that it ended on the hill, but it would have taken place on the flat agricultural land behind us here.
Yeah, yeah. What I was planning to do, if the rain isn't too bad, I'll get the phone out and read there's quite a short description in Wikipedia of all places, which is really quite evocative of the sort of like the final scene of the battle. It's quite a good description.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can read that without getting blown off the hill, because it's not only is it raining, it's windy as well.
Yeah, well, we're sheltered in here. I mean, you'll be able to hear the trees blowing. It's fabulous. I love this sort of weather.
Yeah,
it's really wild. Very wild.
I love this over a sunny day anyway.
All your photographs kind of a testament to that.
Miserable and bleak and black and white. That's why I never sell any.
So just to say that Sealed Knot, about 8 years ago, they had a big reenactment up here, which lasted about 3 or 4 days. And they set their camp up as a plateau. So, Glyn, you were saying about the battle would have been kind of to the east of us. In fact, that's exactly where they set their camp up, on the plateau just to the east of where we are.
There must be loads of archaeology around there, evidence of the battle, I would guess.
Well, I know that there's still stuff being found at the bottom of the hill. You know where they all died. Yeah. What was that part called?
It's called Bloody Ditch.
Bloody Ditch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that they still plough up bits and pieces, and people find things down there. So we're trying our best not to get blown off the top of Oliver's Castle at the moment because it's really windy. I mean, at least the rain's gone anyway.
Yeah.
But it's still muddy underfoot, and at least one of us has been a casualty so far of that and slipped on their arse.
It was a matter of time.
It was only a matter of time. I'm waiting for you two to follow suit. But we're just on the edge of Bloody Ditch, which is the horrific scene of the end of the Battle of Roundway Down. So, Paul, I think you've got some things to read.
Yeah, so just the sort of the background very quickly. So, you know, the Battle of Roundway Down, and there was a big battle on, I think it was the 7th of July, something like that, 1643, Battle of Lansdowne, and the Royalists and the sort of Parliamentarians sort of retreated from there and variously assembled. I think the Royalists fled to Chippenham and pursued by the parliamentarians. And then skipping forward, they ended up, the royalists ended up in Devizes and were sort of were holed up there, and the parliamentarians laid siege to Devizes. And a small force of royalists, 300 cavalry, I think, managed to break out, and they went to Oxford. They rode to Oxford to get support from the which was the royalist sort of stronghold, and they went to get reinforcements from Oxford, and the royalist forces there assembled in Oxford, and then they rode all night, and they rode back here to Roundway. So I'm just going to read a bit, which is, this is just Wikipedia, anybody can look this up, and it just sort of gives a quite a good summary of the battle, and also where we're standing now, the Bloody Ditch. So the Royalist Cavalry was divided into three brigades, and as well as being in overall command, General Wilmot, or Lord Wilmot I think he was, led that on the left, with Sir John Byron on the right and the Earl of Crawford in reserve. Despite having ridden all night, Wilmot attacked immediately and caught Sir John Waller, out of position. And Waller commanded the parliamentarian forces. So he caught Waller out of position with Haselrig and his regiment of London Lobsters in an exposed forward position. Haselrig tried to rally his men but withdrew when he saw Byron preparing to attack and rejoin the rest of Waller's cavalry. As Waller advanced down the hill, and that would be from up here on the heights, so basically to attack the Royalist supporters, army who were coming up the hill. As Waller advanced down the hill, Byron continued his attack, supported by Wilmot and the Royalist reserve under Crawford. With their infantry unable to fire for fear of hitting their own men, the parliamentarian cavalry was swept from the field. Pursued by the Royalists, some of them rode over the edge of a steep precipice and into an area that became known as the Bloody Ditch. And that's what we're standing by right now, which anybody who's been up here, I mean, this is an incredibly steep escarpment. So now isolated with 3,000 Royalists from Devizes advancing against their rear, Waller ordered his infantry into defensive squares and began withdrawing towards the northwest. After approximately an hour, Byron's cavalry returned from their pursuit and captured the parliamentarian artillery, which they turned on the retreating enemy, quickly causing them to break apart. Fleeing in all directions, many were cut down by Wilmot's men. Waller and the remnants of his cavalry escaped towards Bristol, leaving the remainder to surrender. But the thought of these sort of horses and riders going over this hill, and I mean, a lot of them died, and you know, you can see why. I mean, you know, horses, men would have just broken their necks, and as well as everything else. Absolute madness.
Yeah, and I think I've heard it where this comes from. I'm not too sure, but I've heard it mentioned by people who come up here a lot. But there is historical reference to just this line of bodies of horses and men. And hence the name Bloody Ditch. And I've been up here many, many times, and I just stand on the edge, and I just try and imagine, even just falling as a single person rolling down the hill, you break your neck.
Yeah.
If you're on a horse,
you never stop, would you?
No.
But you were saying earlier on that they found, you know, there's archaeology. They're still finding sort of, you know, remains or remnants of the scene of the battle. Of remnants of the battle, which, as I said, was 13th of July 1643, and they're still turning up finds in the field down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's quite a place, and you can easily stand here and imagine how it must have been.
And it's funny enough, the weather today is sort of quite fitting. I mean, we're looking across to just looking behind over Steve's shoulder here, we can see Tinhead. And Tottenham Wood, and sort of Eddington at the foot there, which of course is the scene of another great battle in 878, was it? The Battle of Eddington. And then beyond that, we're looking at Bratton and Westbury beyond, and this great sort of rain shadows, the sun sort of just breaking through the clouds over there, and it's obviously pouring with rain, and it's great rain shadows. It's a really, really dramatic scene today, isn't it? Couldn't have picked a better day.
Absolutely. to say, for anybody that wants to get an impression of Oliver's Castle from the other side and just to appreciate how incredibly steep it is, if you go to Bromham and then look back up, or St. Edith's Marsh, and look back up towards Oliver's Castle, and then try and imagine those horse, those horses, those riders, and those troops going over the edge. Yeah. You, that'll give you a very, very good impression.
It must be desperate. Right, are we going to try and walk to Kings Bay Hill?
Kings Bay Hill, yeah.
It looks a blooming long way, but
It's it is quite. I mean, we've got another 2 or 3 hours ahead of us, I reckon, if we do that.
Right.
Yeah. So, we can shortcut back.
Let's go on and see how we're doing.
Yeah.
Fine.
Daylight's going to be the problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So we finally made it up here to Kings Bay Hill, despite the inclement weather. Let's just say we just got to the top, and we stood on the top of a Bronze Age bowl barrow, and if the wind was, we thought the wind was strong on top of Roundway, but here it was next level. We nearly got blown off.
I really struggled to stand up.
It's
so strong. I'm trying to take photographs as well. I mean, it's just going to be a blurry mess, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, Kings Bay Hill is a really lovely spot. I mean, the way the slopes of the hill drop away from the summit is really quite something to be seen, really.
There's strip linchets as well, where the sword has just slipped, and these sort of bands going down the hill. Really striking there, isn't it?
And we just sort of huddled down in a hollow bit just off the summit where it's not so windy to try and have a conversation.
If we were standing on top, no, we'd be able to hear anything that we said.
But we've got a fantastic view from here across to Morgan's Hill. You can see the radio towers. Fur's Knoll. Just in the field below us, there's the remains of a long barrow. Not much left of it, I have to say, but you can still see the shape of it. And then, of course, in the far distance, a view across to the Pusey Downs. It really is a sort of glorious place. And it's amazing to be here. It's so much open countryside, given we started this walk in the centre of a town.
That's right.
Indeed, yeah.
Look at the oases. So that the long barrow, that's Neolithic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
and then right just behind us, we're standing on the edge of it, is a Bronze Age bowl barrow, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can see that's been excavated because it's got a sort of dimple in the top where they've dug down and filled it back in. It's probably Cunnington and Hall.
Cunnington, yeah, I know Cunnington had excavated up here.
Yeah.
But, my God, look at the views, it's just incredible.
Yeah, you can actually look here, you can see the Lansdowne Monument.
Yeah. It's. God, there's half a Wiltshire laid out before you there. Glorious.
Yeah. Well, like you say, I think, you know, you can see Cheryl Monument there with the sun glinting on it, and then Morgan's Hill, and then Pusey Vale as well.
Yeah.
And it is like a panoramic postcard in one, isn't it? It's just something else.
Yeah, if it weren't so windy, I'd try and shoot do a panorama photograph and stitch them together, but I mean, you wouldn't be able to stand still. It just wouldn't work. So I just have to admire it and remember it. Look at the sun coming out now, it's incredible. Bear in mind we were in thick cloud and driving rain, we were absolutely drenched earlier on. And now the blue skies and the blooming sun's shining.
There's definitely a day of two parts.
Yeah, we've had it all today, we just need some snow now to top it off.
God, don't. Actually, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
But I'll tell you what though, I look like I've been, you know, doing motocross riding or something. I'm absolutely covered in mud.
I think we all do, actually.
Yeah. You've got most of it on one side, then. Yeah. I mean, if you will lie in the mud like that, then what do you expect?
Yeah, I had a bit of a lie down on the way up. What a view, though.
It's amazing, isn't it? So I'm just dumbstruck by every time I come up here, I'm just dumbstruck by how fantastic it is.
Yeah.
And it is that thing, like, you can, you know, you've got Adam's Grave there, you've got Morgan's Hill there, you've got Cheryl.
I mean, I can just looking over there, I can actually see as far as Woodborough Hill. You can see the trees on the top of Woodborough.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
So that's all the way over to Alton Barnes.
Yeah.
So we just reached the end of the walk, and actually the sun's come down. It's past the sunset, and we've been at this since 9:30 this morning. So that's a bit of a morning stroll has turned out to be a whole day's walk.
A quick canter around to Oliver's Castle has turned into an entire day.
Yeah.
But we are dry again.
I mean, the sun came out in the end, so the morning was terrible.
It's just stunning now. I mean, sort of powder blue sky, pink fluffy clouds such as they are. It's just a beautiful sunset. So who'd have thought it from this morning?
Indeed.
Driving rain and
clouds at knee level.
And no wind. There's no wind. And we've gone from like a force 156
being
gale.
Blown off our feet.
Well, actually, the wind was actually quite good up there because it was doing a good job at drying out my trousers because I slipped over in the mud.
Yeah, quite, yeah.
Yeah. And my underwear, which was soaked.
No, great day. Really good day.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a very good day. A lot of ground covered.
Literally.
Fantastic scenery.
Yeah.
Challenging weather. Challenging underfoot as well.
And as ever, we've gone from sort of like, I don't know, Neolithic times right up to, well, certainly the 17th century and a bit beyond, I suppose, with the start of the walk here. And
yeah, we're here at the canal, so yeah, good, that's good, got a history in its own.
Devizes Wharf or whatever it's called.
So one thing I meant to say, we just crossed two of the canal bridges from Quaker's Walk, and there was, I don't know if you saw, there was an iron kind of post about 7 foot, 8 foot high. And that was an old tank trap.
Oh, was it?
The remains of an old tank trap, yeah. Because if you go three bridges down, there are dragon's teeth still on the bridge. And that was part of one of the tank.
Part of the defences.
Tank defences, yeah. So there we are.
So it really does bring us up, not quite to date.
Not quite to date, far off.
But the thing that I found really amazing, and I think I've said this already, so apologies if I'm boring everyone, but the fact that you can start in an urban location and do the walk we've done and be amongst that scenery is just so lucky.
Sense of remoteness out there and being able to see forever and thinking that you're miles and miles from everywhere.
Yeah.
And now we're back in the centre of Devizes in the course of a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you think, you know, in 40 minutes, less than that, we could walk to Kings Bay Hill. And, Kings Bay Hill, you're in the middle of nowhere, aren't you?
Yeah,
a windy wilderness.
Yeah. On that note.
So, a good way to start 2022 for this podcast.
Great.
So we should wish everybody a happy new year, I guess.
Indeed. And thanks for having me along.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah. We need another year's worth of music though, Steve, because we've run out.
It's sorted. It's coming. It's there. Good
All
stuff.
Right. All right.
Thanks for coming, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. See you soon.
So that was the end of a really good day out, actually.
Oh, it was a fantastic day.
We covered some distance.
We did. Actually, you thought it was about 10 miles, didn't you?
Yeah, I plotted it on the Ordnance Survey, and it was about 9.5 to 10 miles with all our sort of wanderings around the place.
Yeah, it felt like it. I tell you, the only thing that was missing was a pub at the end of it.
I know.
Because we'd taken so long doing the walk. I think Steve had some fairly pressing matters to deal with when he got home. And he was supposed to have been back much, much earlier. But bless him, he stuck with it. So, we could maybe have gone for a sneaky pint at the end of it. That would have been just the perfect finish. And the other thing that we were, I don't think we were actually recording at the time, but after we'd been to Kings Bay Hill I confessed to, after Glyn and Steve had walked off and left me taking photographs up there, I actually got blown off my feet. The wind was so strong. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we came down and continued along the Wessex Ridgeway, and we were sort of heading in the direction of Furze Knoll and Morgan's Hill. And we walked along Wessex Ridgeway, which is quite a wide, muddy track. It's actually a byway, so it's used by off-roaders, so it's really churned up. And then as we were walking along there, we found in the hedgerow a really old milestone, and it's so weathered and worn that you can't read anything on it. Although I gathered that there are Ordnance Survey marks cut into it that somebody found. Now, we were curious as to what that milestone was all about. And of course, somebody did post a photograph on the Facebook group, didn't they?
Yes.
It was, I've forgotten the guy's name now.
James Rawlings.
James Rawlings put a photograph of the milestone on there. And I think all people managed to determine was that it was just a milestone. which is...
Yes, you know, it was marked on the Ordnance Survey map years ago.
So, you know, and it clearly is. It's obviously a milestone. But I think what would be... I'd like to know is it just a mile marker on the Wessex Ridgeway? Is that part of the Wessex Ridgeway? Is that part of another ancient track called Coach Road? And when we were standing by the side of the stone, we were sort of wondering if that was some sort of Coach Road. And if you want to look on the on a map, particularly the 1 to 25,000 Ordnance Survey map, this is to the sort of east, northeast of Hill Cottage or Hill Cottages. And on that map, there's a symbol for the Battle of Roundway Down. It's the sort of cross swords, which it's a symbol for a battle site. And it's sort of, it's by the Ridgeway, immediately north of that. So if anybody knows, apart from it being the Wessex Ridgeway, which we know, what is the significance of that track? Because a lot of these long distance footpaths are sort of modern inventions, but the Wessex Ridgeway I know is a lot older. It's not just a modern invention of the Ramblers Association. How old is it? Is it an old coach road? Actually, sorry, I think I said it was on the 1 to 25,000. It's actually on the 1 to 50,000 map is the symbol for the Battle of Roundway Down. For some reason, it's not marked on the 1 to 25,000, which is a bit weird. But it's very, very close to Kingsplay Hill. So, yes, if somebody could enlighten us, that would be great.
Yeah, we may know one or two people out there that might have an answer.
Yes.
So we'll have to tap them up.
We're looking at you, Steve Dewey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap up for this first podcast of 2022.
Yeah.
Thanks, as usual, to Steve Dixon for the music. Have we got any offers or discounts this year?
Not at the moment, no. I think I still haven't caught up with Tim Kington at Lower Boots, but he did tell me a while ago that discount code was only good to the end of the year. So
okay,
you might, you know, if you, well, actually, no, tomorrow will be, when this comes out, be too late. I'll have a word with you. He wasn't saying, right, we're going to finish it. He just said that's when the code ends.
Yeah.
So I do need to talk to him. Just going back to Steve Dixon, that piece of music was actually called Gatherings, and we sort of thought of that because it's got like the it sounds like a drum, and it sort of in my head I suddenly popped up a vision of a drummer boy going into battle. So that's what we thought of that piece. Or no, in terms of discounts and offers, don't think there are any.
I'll tell you what there is, though, the Hidden Wiltshire book.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got yourself a copy, get yourself over to the Hidden Wiltshire website where you can buy one.
I think we've sold about half of them now.
Half of this print run. Stock, yeah. So we'll have to think about doing another one.
Yeah.
But actually, both copies of the book are available at the moment. There's two Hidden Wiltshire books, one from 2018, one that was released in December last year. So that's available. You can also get it from Devizes Books or the Wiltshire Museum shop if you go into the museum. I think it's closing over New Year. It'll be open next week on the 4th. Yeah. There are stocks of books in the museum shop. So,
they'll be going into Wiltshire Libraries as well, won't they? They've just ordered.
Yes, they will be in due course. I've just got to sort that out with the library folks. They've asked for some copies. So probably towards the end of January, they'll be available via most of the Wiltshire libraries. If it's not in the library that's local to you, you can order it in. That's another good point.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about it, isn't it?
So that's it, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to talk about We Know Not moment.
No,
but we'll work something out.
Right.
Thanks for listening.
Happy New Year to everybody. Ta-da.